We're so thankful that you chose to come this morning. Pastor Hank said it's a good problem to have to put out chairs and ideas, and you have youth and children out back as well, and we're thankful. The month of March, the Holy Spirit led us to discuss and have a series called Planted, and we saw that Christ is the seed. Week one, right off the bat, Christ is the seed. The Word of God planted in the soils, if you would look at Matthew 13 or Mark, the fourth chapter, the parable of the sower and the seed. The seed is the Word of God, and John 1 tells us that Christ is the Word. Galatians tells us that He is that seed, singular, through whom all the promises would be fulfilled. Then we learned in the second week that He is the incorruptible, indestructible, and ever-growing seed that has been placed and implanted in the hearts of men. We learned that the righteous are like a tree planted by the rivers of water, with no fear of the heat, with no anxiety of a drought, and always prospering. I would encourage you to listen. Then last week we talked about the garden of God that is in us, where Christ is the vine, we are the branches, and the Father is the gardener. And branches bear fruit, they don't produce fruit. Galatians 5 lists the fruits of the Spirit, not the fruit of self-effort. And then we release the fragrances of the fruit of Christ that is in our lives. And today, on Resurrection Sunday, I want to bring your attention perhaps to a new aspect that many of us may have not seen, a picture of what Christ's death, burial, and resurrection means to us, especially in our series called Planted. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you this morning that you are here. I pray that you would open our eyes, open our hearts, and open our minds to the good things that you have already done for us. And we thank you as we celebrate this resurrection that you're speaking to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. First this morning, let me say thank you, Jesus, for the blood. If you have not heard the new song, look it up on YouTube by David Funk called The Blood. You will enjoy it. Everything changed because of the blood. When the blood of Jesus was shed, the course of history changed. One covenant fell to the wayside, and he was creating a brand new covenant through his blood. Listen, when you know that the blood has been applied, I don't walk the same that I used to walk. I don't talk the same that I used to talk. I've been washed from the inside by the blood of the Lamb. You can say amen and thank you, Jesus, anywhere you want. It could have only been the blood of Jesus that my shame hit the wayside and my sin met the Most High. That's what that song says. And when the blood of Jesus was applied to my heart, it washed away all of my sin, and I was made a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. The former things passed away, and behold, all things became brand new. I don't see things the same way that I used to see them. Why? Because of the blood. Ransomed by the blood, purchased by the blood, given access to the most holy place by the blood, reconciled to God, made at peace with God by the blood. We are worthy, forgiven, justified, and really living now because of the blood. That's great news. Then I wanted to tell you, not only thank God for his blood, which symbolized his death, but thank God for his resurrection, because through the resurrection, we have been justified. That word justified means that when God looks at you, it's just as though you never sinned. Think of that. Thank God for the forgiveness of sin. You weren't forgiven when you asked God to forgive you. You were forgiven when the blood of Jesus was shed at Calvary's cross. Father, forgive them, was the word from the cross. But we just have a dead Savior like any other religion, but he didn't stay in the grave. 3 days, 3 nights, and then he was resurrected, and he got up to justify us. Romans, the 4th chapter, verse 25 says, he was delivered up, or crucified, for our trespasses, and he was raised up for our justification. Anybody happy that he got up on that first Easter Sunday morning? And because of his resurrection, all things are now new. And we're just, as a matter of fact, he sees us the same way that he sees his son Jesus. James tells us that as Jesus, as Christ is, so are we in this world. Now, in line with our series called Planted, I want to give your attention to a new perspective this Easter. Are you ready? Listen to the words of Jesus from John, the 12th chapter, verse 24. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It will be on the screen. Jesus speaks and he says, I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce a plentiful harvest of new lives. Did you notice how this was translated? Unless that kernel of wheat is planted. Most translations say buried. Now, I submit to you that Jesus was speaking of himself when it came to that kernel of wheat. Now, he only had one life in the physical form, and if he stayed in the physical realm, he would be alone as a God-man. But if that kernel of wheat would be planted into the earth and die, he would bring forth, what did it say here? A plentiful harvest of new lives. I had a friend, Michael Douglas, one of my favorite songs growing up was to hear him say, sing old lives for new. Because all of us, we had an exchange, and he gave his life, he took on our sin, and he gave us his righteousness. He took on all that we had ever done, and he gave us brand new life. And so when he died and was planted, I know that Jesus was buried. He died. When things die, what do with them in West Virginia? We bury them. But I want you to look at the perspective this Easter Sunday that he not only was buried as a man, but he was planted as a seed. Come on. We've established 4 weeks ago that he was the seed. Christ is the seed. Matter of fact, Genesis, the 3rd chapter, says that the seed of the woman would bruise, it would bruise his heel and it crush the head of the enemy. The seed. Christ is that seed that was buried and planted. And then he's not only planted into the soil, he was planted as an indestructible, an incorruptible, never perishing, ever growing seed implanted into the hearts of men. But specifically, he was talking here. We talk about all the time at Grace Life that we are context. If you read John the 12th chapter, as you get on down through the scripture, he says that now judgment has come. Now the prince of this world has been cast out. And if I be lifted up, I will draw. Now, your King James Bible says, all people to myself, or all men to myself. And it's probably going to be in italics, all men. Because that is a passage that was not in the original language. The way that it originally read when it was written was, I will draw all. Well, what all did he draw? Well, when he was that kernel of wheat that was planted into the ground and he died and he was buried, he was not buried, he was planted. Because if he was buried, he'd still be in the ground. Now, that's just semantics. I'm not trying to tell you that he wasn't buried as a dead man. He was, and he got up. But he was planted as a seed, and that's when judgment came. That's when the prince of this world would be cast out. And he said, then I will draw all what? All judgment to myself. Listen, this Easter Sunday morning, there are a lot of messages that are going to go out across pulpits today that will tell you that you have a judgment coming. And they'll try to scare you and put you under guilt and condemnation and try to scare you out of hell. Well, all I want to do is love the hell out of you, because you've got so much of that hell in you. No, you don't. You have Christ in you. You can make decisions that will put you in what seems to be hell sometimes. Listen, let me explain it. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 20 through 23, talks about the first fruits. However, this very moment, the risen Christ represents everyone who has ever died, exactly like the first fruit represented the complete harvest. If you would go to Leviticus and you would study the first fruits, which the feast of first fruits was during Passover. How many of you saw the chart that I posted on Facebook this week on my page? If you haven't made yourself available to that, go to that chart. Okay, and look at it. It explains Passover. Jesus himself prophesied about his resurrection. And he said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Now, I'm not here to bust up your theology and take away Good Friday from you, but he was not crucified on Friday. Because if he was put in the ground on Friday, Friday night, Saturday, that's only 2 days, or two nights. So that chart, if you will look at it, and it has scriptural references at the bottom of the chart to tell you that more than likely he was crucified on Thursday, placed in the ground before there were two Sabbaths during the Passover. The High Sabbath, which took place on Preparation Day, that was once a year during Passover. And 2 days later, the first fruits offering was waved before the Lord. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians that he was that kernel that was of wheat that was planted into the ground, and that he is the first fruits of many brethren to be resurrected. So he was on Resurrection Day, is a part of the Feast of First Fruits, and he waved the first fruit offering to his Father and brought forth a plentiful, I feel God all over my body right now, he brought forth a plentiful harvest of sons. In life, you have to realize that you're going to have some dirt put on you. I'm the only one? At times, it feels like you're buried under all the crap of life. But remember, crap is manure, is fertilizer. I love it. For those in the back, she said black gold. But sometimes you'll feel like you're never going to get past a sickness, a trial, an addiction. It's dark. You feel pressure all around you. You don't see a way out. The good news is you're not buried, you're planted. When you're buried, you're done. But when you're planted, you're coming forth again. Stronger, healthier, more successful. But being planted feels and looks like the same as being buried. It's dark. It's uncomfortable. You feel pushed down and compacted. But remember, the life of the Almighty God is your seed, and it is designed to push through the dirt. His life is more powerful than any force that's trying to hold you back. Our friend Lisa Unger, Dr. Lynn House's sister, is the pastor of Word of Deliverance. She preached a similar series a few years ago. I listened to some of it. And she said one of the strongest plants or flowers is the dandelion. And you can look out in the parking lot, and if there's any crack anywhere, a dandelion has pushed its way through that concrete and is blooming. And she said, the strongest person that we know that burst forth after he was planted was Christ. And he was a dandelion. Write that down. I can't take credit for that. That was Pastor Lisa Unger. But he pushed through the dirt. That stone was rolled away. This is just me. I'm pretty boisterous. I like extravagant things. I like fireworks. I like bombs going off. in Mexico a few years ago on July 4th. Dr. Cook didn't have any fireworks, so he stuck dynamite to sticks, and we stuck them down in the ground and lit the dynamite. Man, it was cool. Best fireworks show I'd ever seen. Now, there were holes in the ground about that big around where he let those bottle rockets off, but I just see the stone at, they didn't have to roll it away. I just see it exploded. It just obliterated, you know, and it wasn't to let stinking flesh out. It was so that new life could come forth. And he is a dandelion. Under doesn't mean that it's over. For 3 days and three nights, the disciples felt like he was under, but it wasn't over. Why? Because he wasn't buried, he was planted. One of the key realities in the kingdom of God is that life springs forth from death. His death was your death. His resurrection is our resurrection. Colossians 3:1 says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are all to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. And you are seated in him, in that place of honor, power, and authority. That ought to make you get excited on Resurrection Sunday morning. Resurrected life is not something that you have to die to obtain. Resurrection life is what you have right now because he died and was planted and rose again. It has future implications of a resurrection, but we have resurrection life right now. He was and he is the firstborn of many brethren to be resurrected. Jesus called us out of the grave into a garden. Can I give you some encouragement this morning? Stop going back to the grave. The grave is where dead things are. But you don't need to go back to dead things. You've been resurrected with Christ, and now you are in a garden. Where he is the Father, is the farmer. You are a new creation with a brand new life. The grave clothes are falling off. Stop putting them back on. Can I tell you how you put grave clothes back on? You go back to works. You go back to trying to earn salvation. You go back to trying to be accepted. You go back to try to earn any type of reward from Christ when he's already done the work. This is the way Paul says it in Hebrews. When you do that, you trample over the blood of Christ and you make it a common thing. Stop going back and putting those grave clothes on. There are things that are dead in your life that you can do one of two things with. You can bury them and leave them in the grave, or you can resurrect them and prophesy to them, speak life over them. Old things have passed away. The Greek phrase here means it was an act of moving forward past what has passed away. If something's dead, you bury it and you move past it and away from it. You don't keep going back and trying to resurrect that dead thing. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Church, he gave his life to us. It's a gift. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. Now, the accuser wants to keep you going back to the past because it buries you. But Jesus, because he was planted and rose again, he has brought forth many sons. Stop speaking to what you should be stepping on. Stop speaking death, step over it. Start speaking life and step in tune with this new life that you have. there must be a death, or there must be, that seed has to be planted before there's resurrection. I thought about getting everyone a seed this morning and giving you a seed to take home and to plant it and watch it burst forth in this new spring season. But then when I was looking at what seed to get and I put one in my pocket, I couldn't find it. And I thought, if anybody's like me and I give them a seed, they won't even get it home. So I wanted to tell you that I didn't have to buy you a seed to plant to give you an illustration, because the seed has already been planted in you. His death certificate became your birth certificate. Can I say that again? His death certificate became your birth certificate of a brand new life. Jennifer, if you come. I believe that this Easter, we don't need any information on how to die. We need information on how to live. So over the next, well, as long as the Lord gives us breath and strength and allows us to be here, we're going to keep giving you information on how to live life. Not how to die. See, because eternal life doesn't start when you die. Eternal life starts the moment you believe. I would encourage you this morning, if you've not placed your faith in Christ, if you have not believed that what he did at Calvary is a finished work for your salvation, now you're reconciled to God, but you're not stepping into the benefits. You've not accessed the abundant life that you can have on the planet. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." I reread that to give you verse 19 of that same chapter from the Mirror translation. Our lives now represent the one event every creature anticipates with held breath, standing on tiptoe, as it were, to witness the unveiling or the blooming, the coming forth out of the ground with new life, the sons of God. I believe one translation says it this way: the entire world groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. You might feel buried this Easter, but I speak to you that you're planted. And because he was the firstborn of many brethren, the first fruits, the harvest is sons. And sons and daughters that act like sons and daughters and talk like sons and daughters and live like sons and daughters are manifesting and representing Christ, the firstborn. What we already now participate in as first fruits of the Spirit will bloom into the full gathering of that harvest. As you stand this morning and we get ready to close this Easter celebration, would you just begin to meditate on resurrection life? You know, Easter's a great time to surrender all. Spring is in the air. Flowers are blooming. We're talking about the first fruits. Christ has already died. His death was our death. His resurrection was our resurrection. It's a great time to say, yes, I align with that. I believe that's what Christ did for me. It doesn't take repeating a prayer. Repeating a prayer is not bad, but that's not what it takes. Jesus didn't say, repeat a prayer after me and you'll have eternal life. He said, whosoever believes in me shall have eternal life. Have you believed this Easter Sunday morning? Maybe you believed years ago, you got baptized and you've been in and out of church and you've had doubts and you've had regrets and you've had battles and situations, and doubt crept in, and you're a believer, but you have some unbelief. And it's amazing to me how hard it is for church people to believe that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's hard for us who have, we like to get our toes stepped on, and we like to be told what to do, because if I don't do it, then I can come back and be forgiven, thank God for His grace. But confession is not a bar of soap to keep coming back and be washed clean. He gave you a brand new heart. But sometimes when life happens, when crap gets piled up on top of crap and it's dirt and you feel buried, to say, Lord, I believe I'm planted this morning. And as that one father said, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Don't know what boat you're in this morning. I don't know what category you're in this morning, but this is a good time. As you bow your heads and you just begin to contemplate what you've heard this morning, maybe you want to make a trip to the front and kneel at this altar and thank God for His blood. Thank God for His resurrection, what He's done in you, how He's spared you, saved you, healed you, delivered you. Maybe you want to make a trip to this altar and say, Lord, I believe. You can do it in your seat. You don't have to come down here. It is a good place so that you can have an Ebenezer to say, on March 31st, 2024, I surrendered and I was reconciled to what God had already done in my life as a son. Let's sing, and you just obey the Holy Spirit right now as He tugs on your heart.